Hey, and welcome to the first episode. Thanks for downloading and listening. And I think today what I want to start talking about is the diet that I chose. So kind of the thing I'm trialing right now, and that's high fat, low carb, or HFLC. And this diet, you'll see it sort of talked about in a lot of different ways right now. So there are keto is a really sort of popular term. You hear like the keto diet in Silicon Valley, it's all the rage. And then you'll see articles for it, articles against it. You'll see lots of supporting evidence one way and lots of supporting evidence another way. Keto is just one aspect of high fat, low carb. You can also look at things like the Whole 30. You can look at paleo. You can hear terms like primal. A lot of times an inflammation or lower inflammation response diet kind of falls into this world as well. So they all kind of float around this term. And just like any other diet, there's nuances to all of them. So it's a matter of finding what works for you, figuring out what's sustainable, seeing what kinds of foods you as a human, as an individual, are able to live with or live without. Because the bottom line is when you go on, and I hate the term diet, but when you go on sort of this lifestyle change, you're going to give something up. And hopefully it's for a good reason. And not just because you've thought about it, you've put the effort in. It's not just, I'm going to go keto because that's the cool thing to do, or I'm going to go on a paleo diet because that's the rage thing, or I'm going to become a vegetarian because of XYZ. It's important to kind of figure out what your reasoning is, what's your tipping point. Is it to feel a little bit better? Is it to lose some weight? Is it to genuinely change your lifestyle because you feel like the types of food that we eat as a westernized diet are not ideal and you want to change your behaviors around that? All those are really good, good reasons to do that, to change kind of this lifestyle. For me, it's really simple. I throw up at races, and it's a real pain in the butt to be able to train and work and put all this time and effort in and put in 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a week, whatever that number is, of training, getting ready for these races, only to have my stomach be the limiting factor that causes me to not have a good race. Not mental, not physical, though those things do happen, but a lot of times it's a result of the stomach problems, and I'm, heads down in a bush at mile 70 throwing up. So my idea of getting on this high-fat, low-carb diet was the goal here, the intent or the effect of this diet is that after you've transitioned to burning more of your onboard body stores of fat versus having to be carb reliant all the time, is it you just don't need to take as many calories in. So for me, it's a really simple equation. If I can limit the amount of food that I take in, then at some point I can push off that getting sick or throwing up to later in the race or maybe not at all. That's it. You know, it's a really, really simple reason of why I first decided that I wanted to kind of take this new approach. And it was quite simply, if there is a way for me to have, because there's always a tipping point. It's whether it's that cup of soda that you have late in a race, for me, that I have late in a race, that gel, whatever that thing is that like makes me gag and then all of a sudden I'm getting sick. There is a tipping point. And is it at 20 gels? Is it at 30 gels? Is it at whatever? If I can keep pushing that number out for less than the number that I take in, so let's say I'm 80% carb burning and 20% fat burning. Well, over the course of a big race, that may be 5 or 6 gels less that I have to take in. And that's substantial because, again, at some point the scales tip and my stomach doesn't like it and reacts pretty violently. So the stomach stuff was really why I started down this. Really simple, right? I don't want to throw up during races anymore. So that'd be great if I could push that off. Now, there are other benefits to day-to-day life that I didn't recognize or really didn't even think about when I started this diet or new lifestyle, if you will. And I think it was because I was really focused on this idea of the running and the training, and because of that, I'm going to, you know, benefit later. But that instance where I get sick is only this really small portion of my year. So if I take all the hours in the year put together, there's only a couple of times a year for a handful of hours where this is even an issue. But because I, you know, enjoy running and those kind of things, I'd like to perform better at races. So it is a mentally, all the training and the effort that I put in makes it an instrumental or an important part of my time. But in the overall scheme of things, it's very minimal. And with that, what I started to find was some other things kind of in life, in day-to-day life, that kind of opened my eyes a little bit as I was kind of exploring and getting more adapted to this diet type. And a few of those things are this idea of kind of your body's adaptability. So you can look around and you can find all types of athletes doing lots of different diets, and what you'll find is that humans can really adjust well to a lot of things. I've been able to adjust really well to just eating whatever. So fuel is fuel. And again, I don't eat garbage all the time, but I eat garbage some of the time. And I wouldn't say I really concentrate a whole bunch on maybe the quality play. If I hop on an airplane, my go-to was to buy a vitamin water and some Sour Patch Kids. Why? Because it's like comfort food and it makes me feel good. But come on, that's a massive amount of sugar to just throw in your gut and then sit on a plane. But I'm not alone in that. And those are the types of things that I think in general, people do day to day and don't really even look at it. You know, you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You go to Subway and you get something with a bunch of bread. You go out for waffles and pancakes and donuts, especially living in Portland. Donuts are a huge thing. You put sugar in your coffee. You order the unicorn Starbucks drink, which has, I don't even know, 70 grams of sugar in it. You have a soda. You have a diet soda. We continue to kind of push all these chemicals and sugars and stuff into our body and into our system that, because of westernized diet, it's just always easily available and right there. You can go look in your cabinet, more than likely, and you're going to find a bunch of stuff in there that's probably not the best. So, yes, I started out with this whole intent of hoping to improve my athletic performance, but what I found are some really other, I think, things that I didn't expect to find. Okay, so a couple of those are day-to-day. The idea of being hangry. It's a funny term. We laugh about it. There's commercials about it, like, oh, you don't want to be hangry. I was a hangry person. And I know that some of that is because I do run and I put in this time working out and expending energy. So I'm depleting my glycogen stores. And because my diet is based around sort of this continual idea of fueling and keeping that, we'll call it blood sugar or glycogen stores, topped off, then I'm always in this state of having to eat like that. But if we kind of step back and think about that as a race, as humans, there's no way that that's normal. Being hangry 200 years ago probably didn't exist. Being hangry 100 years ago probably didn't exist. But it does now, because we have access to just food all the time. The idea of three square meals a day is silly, right? It's a first world problem. And to think that I have to eat all the time, or I'm going to have a blood sugar drop, or which is going to in turn make me irritated and mad, it just didn't feel like it just doesn't feel like normal by any stretch. It feels like man-made, and in fact, it is. it is man-made because we are continually eating and continually topping off these glycogen stores and having to feed our body. So we've kind of created this self-fulfilling or this cycle of I eat all these carbs and I don't want to say even all these carbs. I eat these maybe more carb-focused meals where it's minimized on the proteins and the fats. And because of that, I burn through them really quick. And then in a few hours, I'm hungry again. And you can look at your body in general. When you go to bed, you don't get hungry and have to get up in the middle of the night, most likely, and eat. Have I felt like that after a race before? Sure. But in general, you go to bed and you're not waking up starving at 2 a.m. after you went to bed at 10, and then waking up again at 4, and then waking up again at 8. That wouldn't be possible. Now, I recognize that the body goes into sort of a more dormant phase while you're sleeping, and that, you know, we turn off some of those receptors. But you could sit on your couch all day long in a stagnant state, and you're going to get hungry at some point. So the idea here of what I'm kind of trying to get across is that it's not just activity that's driving that hunger state. It's also what I'm eating and how I'm eating day to day that is creating this cycle of being hangry. So I wanted to move away from that, and that was something that I didn't really notice until I was a little bit farther into the diet, that those things went away. And the benefit to that hangry sensation going away, it's actually a pretty freeing feeling to not have everything just revolving around food all the time, of like, I've got to have snacks and I got to, you know, put this stuff in my backpack. And as someone that travels for work sometimes and has kids, I have all this other stuff that, like, when we get out of the house, I have to, like, really plan for and you know, make sure that they have food and that we've got a coat and we've got diapers and we've got all this other stuff. So then to on top of that be like, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry, I can't stand it. Being able to kind of push off that feeling or increase the amount of time, if you will, between food, because I'm not so dependent on my blood on my blood sugar dropping or being hangry, because I'm using onboard fat stores. And it's actually come up in a couple of places and been really helpful. A has been traveling. So flying on an airplane and going from the West Coast to the East Coast, I took a couple of little, you know, snacks, and snacks being like an avocado and a couple pieces of cheese, and put those in a little bag and flew across the country, and that's all I ate over the course of like 6 hours. And I felt fine. And it was like an awakening to me to be able to go that long and that far and not feel just really frustrated and mad, and not turn to some sort of junk food that was being served on the plane. I didn't have to worry about it. I was able to get through that, and my energy was fine, and I didn't have a drop in blood sugar or none of those things happened. And that took time. That wasn't immediate. That I definitely was a couple months into this transition before I had to do that. But just this general idea of that food doesn't rule my day-to-day. And I don't even know that I recognized how much food did rule my day-to-day before I went this route. I was always looking for a snack. I was staring in the cabinet or in the refrigerator, generally eating something else while looking for something to eat. That's what I do. And I think that's what a lot of people do. And to remove that was this really, really freeing feeling. One of the other benefits that popped up from it was I have one kid in school, a 10-year-old that goes to an elementary school, and then I have another one that's a 2-year-old and then a daycare. And both of them bring home all germs, every germ that could exist, they bring home. And there's been a couple of times during this winter season where I've been sick and under the weather and not feeling like eating, and to not have this feeling of I want to eat because I'm low energy, but I can't eat because I'm sick, was pretty awesome. Like, I didn't feel great. You know, I had a little bit of a headache. I had a little bit of a fever. My stomach was kind of in knots. But I wasn't lacking for energy because, again, I was feeding off of these fat stores. So those are just, you know, some interesting things that came about that I definitely wasn't expecting at all. And just moving from day-to-day life, moving through it, and not having kind of food as this centerpiece has been really, really a eye-opening experience. I get up in the morning and I'm not starving for food. I have my cup of coffee and I kind of go about my day and I feel like I have good energy. Not to say that I'm not hungry. And I also, as someone that trains and works out, I want to make sure that I'm not missing those cues to get nutrient-dense food in me. But the sole fact that I'm not just constantly on edge and having to shove food in my mouth to just operate as a human has been a really, really cool byproduct of taking on this experiment. A few other things I'll kind of call out that were a bit of a surprise on a side item is one is sleep. I sleep generally before all this diet fairly light. It takes a little bit for me to kind of turn it off at night, get my brain to shut down and fall asleep, and then usually little stuff can wake me up and then keep me awake. I've got some food things that bug me where I can get indigestion. I have some things that definitely stimulate. So if I'm to go out and have sweets, they really have a negative effect on me, and I can end up staying up a long time. Like if I go out for ice cream after dinner or something like that, will definitely keep me up. This diet, by eliminating that kind of sugar spike in the diet and having a more even insulin level all day long, I sleep great. I can get about 8 hours a night and really sleep through the night and not have a lot of problems, and I feel refreshed, and I don't have the kind of those nights where you go to sleep and you don't feel rested when you wake up. And that's been awesome. And that is, while I knew kind of a thing that would help, that's a major benefit to life in general. Sleeping is when your body recovers. So from a training standpoint, the fact that I am in a good sleep, that I'm in a deep sleep, that my body's in that recovery mode is a definite bonus. The other thing that was completely surprising was my skin. And one of the things that I always thought I had a problem with was dairy, all dairy. So I had a fairly limited amount of dairy in my diet. I would only eat dairy, I think, on special occasions. Post-race, eat a pint of Ben & Jerry's. That's kind of been my go-to for years. And I would get acne from that, mostly on my back, and not a lot, but some. And I could almost always correlate it to having dairy in my diet. And what I found through this diet was that it may not be specifically dairy that's causing it, but perhaps sugar plus dairy, or bad dairy with high amounts of sugar, things like, you know, 2% milk or something like that, or grains. I don't know the exact of what it is, but I know that my skin, A, has cleared up, so I don't have that problem anymore, A, and B is I don't have the gut response from dairy because I eat cheese, I eat dairy now, probably in a higher volume than I've eaten, I don't know, in the last decade plus, and it does not cause any of that inflammation or any of those gut issues of grumbling and bloating that I had before. So that's fun. I'm able to eat more dairy, which is cool, and my skin is cleared up. And as a 39-year-old man, having acne is not cool. But I guess what I wasn't really thinking about was that if I'm having an external response from food that is causing an, you know, acne, blemishes, that that's probably not a good internal response either, which I'll kind of talk about that more later. But just all of this stuff started adding up, and I started seeing these positive effects from taking this high-fat, low-carb diet in just the way I feel, the way I sleep, and the way I look. And man, that's hard to argue with. All right, so I think that's going to wrap up this one. Hopefully what you picked up from this is that I'm pretty pumped about results. I feel better. My skin looks better. I'm not having crashes, sugar crashes, which helps with my mood, which I think helps with my family. But it all comes at a little bit of effort and some work, though maybe not as much as I anticipated it being when I first started down this path. So next episode, we're going to dive into just that implementation of the diet, how I eat, what I eat, what were some of the pitfalls, what were some of the early issues that I had, what were some of the things that I've done to overcome it. And then as I've continued on to do this now for almost 3 months, what are the things that I'm still seeing as kind of the hiccups or problems or nuances that this thing brings. So as always, any questions or comments, you can leave those on my blog, lylestrials.com. You can reach out to me on Instagram or Twitter at Travis Lyles. And then the last one is if you're listening to this through the Anchor app, feel free to just respond with your voice with a voicemail. All right, thanks, and we'll talk to you next time.